وبركاته. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين. أما بعد، فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى في القرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد بعد: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم في حديث: من أكل طيبا وعمل بسنة وأمن الناس بوائقه دخل الجنة. صدق الله العظيم وصدق رسوله النبي الكريم ونحن على ذلك من الشاهدين والشاكرين والحمد لله رب العالمين. We begin in the name of Allah, most gracious, most kind, most merciful Allah, the controller, sustainer, nourisher, provider for each one of us. There is no occurrence in the heavens, on earth, everywhere in between, that can escape His will, His power and control. And we send choicest salutations upon our Habib, Al-Mustafa Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And we have to start by reminding ourselves that we have to make shukr for this great gift of iman that we are given. Such a virtuous gift, just one ayah to explain it. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, الَّذِينَ يَحْمِلُونَ الْعَرْشَ وَمَنْ حَوْلَهُ يُسَبِّحُونَ بِحَمْدِ رَبِّهِمْ وَيُؤْمِنُونَ بِهِ وَيَسْتَغْفِرُونَ لِلَّذِينَ آمَنُوا. That there's those great angels, magnificent creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who are sinless, who are always in the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who have no desire of their own. يَحْمِلُونَ الْعَرْشَ, and those that are carrying the arsh, that grand arsh of Allah, that throne of Allah, that signifies His glory. Those angels, what is their task? يُسَبِّحُونَ بِحَمْدِ رَبِّهِمْ وَيُؤْمِنُونَ بِهِ. They are continuously engaged in the tasbih of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the praises of Allah. وَيَسْتَغْفِرُونَ لِلَّذِينَ آمَنُوا, and they seek in forgiveness for your and my sins. That just on the mere fact that we have iman, no other virtue from our side, but just that we accepted and became part of this Muslim ummah, of the ummah of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam, those great angels were given a task that they should seek forgiveness on our behalf. So how virtuous, how blessed we are, how fortunate we are. And we remind ourselves that being the day of Friday, we should not let it pass without reading Surah Kahf, so that we can get the benefit and be saved from all the fitan that come during the next week, so that our entire bodies become a beacon of nur, so that our actions become nur and speak for themselves. And we should read our salawat upon Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. If we can manage 1,000, then 1,000, so that we will not pass away until we see our abode in Jannah. If we cannot manage 1,000, then 300 at least, so that we get 2 certificates from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The first, bara'atum minan nar. That first certificate, first for 300 salawat, is that you will be safe, you will be absolved, you will be given freedom from the fire of Jahannam. And the second, bara'atum minan nifaq. That even the Sahaba had fear of nifaq entering their hearts. So we, how much more fear we should have, that we will be given a certificate that we are free from that nifaq as well. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us tawfiq. Moving on. There's a famous, everyone here would have heard, the Imam Al-A'zam, the Faqih, Muhaddith, Imam Abu Hanifa rahimahullah. So just a short introduction so that we can realize what happens after. He enrolled inside in the maktab. His parents enrolled him at a young age. And while he was studying at the age of about 10 or 12, his father passed on. So naturally, how it is that now they take out the son and they put him into the business. So he was taken out from the maktab at that time, about 12 years old, and placed into the business. And he would carry on his studying part-time. But he was running the business. And then when he reaches his late teens or early 20s, then at one occasion he was having a debate with one person on the issue of talaq. So as he's having this debate, at one point he becomes speechless. He doesn't know the answer, what answer to give. So something clicks in his mind. And he asked one of the seniors there that, what should I do now? So Imam Sha'abi rahimahullah told him that, I think you are a brilliant student. You have a lot of potential, but you need to be under the tutelage of someone. You need to go into the dars, be on the feet of some mashayikh. So immediately enrolled under the feet of his sheikh, Imam Hammad rahimahullah. And what he done with his business, because they were cloth merchants, big merchants. So what he done is that they would get partners, and he would give him a consignment and say, when you go out on the road, then you try and sell and we share the profits of whatever it might be. So on one occasion, he gave a consignment to his partner and he says, okay, inside one of these garments, one of them, there are some defects. So before you sell it, make sure you disclose it to the buyer. And when you disclose it, make sure that he's happy with whatever price based on that defect that's in the cloth. The partner goes with a consignment of cloth, silk. He goes, he returns after a few months and he says, Mubarak, Mubarak, Abu Hanifa, that I've come with a great profit for you. 30,000 dirhams. 30,000 dirhams in today's time is about 5.5 million riyal. So that's the amount he earned just from that one sale. So he comes, now Imam al-Adham is thinking, you know, something's not right. I know there was a defect in this cloth. So he asked him, did you make sure, did you disclose a defect when you sold this cloth, that parcel? He says, oh, I forgot. But he was very happy. He checked all and he was happy. So he took it and he paid the price. Imam Abu Hanifa immediately becomes perturbed, becomes worried. He tells his partner, me and you, we can no more do business together. Impossible. You broke my trust. And then the 30,000 dirhams, what does he do with it? It could be our condition there. You know, I mean, he's the great imam. He could have found a loophole, a hila, way out of it, you know. Maybe just take that small amount, give that in sadaqah, the rest he keeps, just the value of the one, two cloths that were defective. But what does he do? He takes that entire amount, 30,000 dirhams, 5.5 million riyal equivalent, and he gives it all in sadaqah. All of it, every last cent. Now I have to ask myself, that why this caution? That he could have found a way out. He was surrounded by scholars. There was a way out of it. But why all of it had to be given? Why this level of caution with regards to his wealth? And then we come to a hadith that we mentioned in the start. That person who consumes, so Allah gives us an easy, some three ingredients for us to get Jannah. In this hadith. And Rasulullah like that made it very easy all the time, giving us ingredients and ways to attain our Jannah. So in this hadith, Rasulullah says, I'll give you three things. Just do this, some good, halal, nutritious food. Man akala tayyiban. But that's just the literal translation of it. And obviously that also takes effect. There are many ahadith which point to the fact that we have to be extremely careful when it comes to our food and what we consume. On one occasion, the Sahaba were hunting. They shot an arrow, hit the bird fell into the water. They come, they bring the bird to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and they ask him, O Nabi of Allah, we were hunting, we shot an arrow, the bird fell in the water. Are we unsure where they died because of the arrow or where they died because it drowned? So is it carrion or is it halal for us to eat? Is it sa'id? Is it hunting? Rasulullah says, on the side of caution and told them not to eat it. Why? Because we have to be very particular about it. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, at one occasion, one of his servants bring for him some food. So he owed him some money from before. He brought this food to him to feed Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. So he was very hungry at that time and he begins to eat. Once he eats finished, then he asks the servant that, where did you get this food from? So the servant says, no, prior to Islam, I used to practice soothsaying. Some soothsaying, you know, say some words and like fortune telling. So he says, during those times there was a traveling caravan and they owed me some money. So now when they were traveling past, they paid me back and with that I bought the food and brought it to you. Immediately Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, this caution again. He couldn't accept it. Every last bit of it he had to vomit it out. He forced himself to vomit it out. So this is only with regards to one's food and what we put in our body. And this of course has an effect on us coming into Ramadan. We have to make sure what we're eating is completely halal. There's a hadith of Rasulullah ﷺ that mentions, many are those who fast during the day, but attain nothing by it except hunger. And one of the tafsirs of it, the muhadith mentioned, is that we break our fast or enter our fast with those things which are doubtful, which are haram. We have to be very particular about what we put in our body. Now the second explanation of man akala tayyiban is that person who's earning, what he's earning needs to be completely free of doubt. That every cent that I'm receiving needs to be free of the smoke of riba, needs to be free of deception in my sale, needs to be free of a sense of hoarding. Every type of prohibition that Rasulullah is mentioning in our business, we need to be free of. That is why Umar radiallahu anhu, in the time when he was Khalifa, now obviously there was a cultural norm of doing business. But still Umar radiallahu anhu says, every person who opens a business must know the laws of Sharia pertaining to business. Why? So that the barakah that comes into Medina through those businesses is purely halal. So that every house is run on halal income. So that there's no doubt that the actions they will give is then will be of goodness and actions according to Sunnah. So how do we make sure that our businesses are according to Sunnah? Because the next part of the hadith says, Man akala tayyiban wa amila bi sunnati. So it links up here. That you want to make sure your income, your food, everything is halal and pure. Then wa amila bi sunnati. Then make sure your business, your life, every aspect of it is run according to Sunnah. Now we can't go too much into what exactly every part of it is. There's volumes written about how to run a business or how to be an employee that runs according to Sunnah or an employer that's according to Sunnah. But just if in a nutshell we can give it to you, there's a few points, five, that if you keep it in mind in your daily life, in our businesses, in our employment, then inshallah this will make sure that our life runs according to Sunnah. The first is that we must have complete honesty and transparency. That within every deal, every transaction, there must not be any leeway of ambiguity. It must be completely honest and completely transparent. And how important this is, that to make sure that we are eating halal all the time and our risk is halal all the time, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala instructed the Anbiya, Ya ayyuha rusul, kulu min at-tayyibat. That, O Anbiya, O messengers of Allah, ensure that you eat the good food. Ensure that your income is pure and halal. That the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, every messenger that came earned for himself, earned that which was halal. Rasulullah said, the Sahaba asked him, O Rasulullah, even you? He said, yes, I used to take out the sheep, the grazing, goats, camels, etc. to the mountainsides to graze. The second is that we should avoid all prohibitions in our business. So we have to ask the ulama, obviously we can't go through all, but we have to ask the ulama that what is allowed for me to do now? That if I'm running a hardware and somebody comes to me, builder comes and he says, you know, just change the invoice here. That I'll give the higher invoice and then you pay me when I come back. So is this halal, not halal? We have to find out. If I'm running a spare shop, whatever it is, if I'm in a employment of somebody and, you know, I'm being tasked 8 hours, this is what I need to do. And then on my way, I stop at the post office to pick up something. I stop on the way to pick up my milk and bread. So all of that is not in my contract. So that money, is it halal for me or not? Our akabir were so cautious about this that it is said that they would be teaching. And during their teaching, if somebody came to ask some personal question, some masala, then while they were teaching, they would write down the minutes they were busy with that personal problem. Because they weren't paid for that. They were only paid for teaching at that time. So they would write down. Even the ink they used to write down something personal, they would pay that back to the idara, to the management. So when we under someone's employment, then we have to be very particular about this prohibitions. The third is with regards to fairness. That when I'm making a sale, is this sale fair on both sides? Sometimes we're driving, you know, they're selling some mangoes on the side. So you say 50 rand. But we say, no, I only got 10 rand. So we keep bargaining, cut 15 rand. And then we feel very happy, I got it for 15 rand. That person is very sad inside. They're not happy with that sale. So how much fairness is there then? Then what have I achieved from that sale? If there is no happiness from both sides, then is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala happy with such a sale? The fourth is generosity. There is an integral part of the sunnah way of doing business or running our life. There is a way of purifying our wealth, and it's a test on iman. If you take interest, then you ask the accountant, he says, no, your money is gone up. You check your bank account, money is gone up. You see in every way, my money is increasing, but it is going to decrease. And when it comes to sadaqah, you see, no, there's less money in my pocket. Now there's less money in my bank account. The accountant is telling me I'm giving too much, there's no money left. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying it's going to increase. So this is a test of iman. That this is how I keep my business pure. In the last is to have patience and perseverance through your business. That level of tawakkul that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will send it, He'll take care of it. I just need to do the effort. So these five things, broad things we keep in mind when we're doing business, and what are the benefits of it? The first is that our entire life and business will become a means of ibadah. Many times people tell me, Mawlana, you're very lucky. You know, your whole day you're in the khidmat of deen, you're doing ibadah. We just in business, shame, man. We have to run after the dunya. But it's not like this. Being in business is also a way for us to get into our dunya and our akhirah, to get both sorted out. The second benefit is a hadith of Rasulullah that person who does business and is trustworthy and honest, then you will be raised with the prophets, with the anbiya, with the shuhada, with the salihin, with the sadiqeen. Can you imagine our rank just if we run this business correctly? Number three, it will be a means of purifying our wealth. That we said in the start, man akala tayyiban. And here it comes out that it will purify our wealth so that we run, our entire life runs properly. And we'll just conclude with this because the time is up. That the last part of the hadith, wa aminan nasu bawa'iqahu. That one will be saved, people are saved from his harm. That before there was corporate that taught us about customer care, Islam already taught us about how we should treat those in our that come to us for business. Islam taught us ethics, be like ethics. Islam taught us HR and human relations before there was a need for unions. So what was the difference but that Islam taught us this customer care is a means of da'wah. And corporate tells us it because it's a means of earning more money or bringing customers back. That Islam taught us ethics because it's a means to keep our amanat properly, that everything is done perfectly in our business. And Islam taught us human relations so that there's no sense of zulam between an employer and an employee. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us tawfiq, give us understanding. That if we run this entire business correctly, our life correctly, my 8 hours that I'm doing, it can become a means of my jannah. And we'll end with the hadith that Ubay bin Ka'b radiallahu anh, there was one occasion during the Khilafat of Umar radiallahu anh, a person came, he was looking for some money. So he sang a poem and he disregarded the world and the dunya and he made it seem abase and, you know, destroyed it. So Ubay radiallahu anh was sitting close. So he says that everything you said was true, but you destroyed the dunya too much. You spoke too much bad about it. Because this dunya, if used correctly, is the place for gaining our akhirah. So we have to use it properly, we'll get that akhirah we want. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.
Jazakumullah khairan to Mawlana Tahir Sahib for those extremely valuable and precious advices. Mawlana plays a very important critical role in overseeing many makatib madrasas of basic ta'limi education. A supervisor that runs under the auspices of the Wifaqul Ulama, Mawlana sacrificed a lot of his precious valuable time for this noble purpose in seeing to the imparting of the basic dini education to our children, as we have heard in bayans, the importance of the maktab system. Reminder, inshallah, tonight after Maghrib, very senior alim from Pakistan, Hazrat Mullah Fadhl Rahman Sahib, who is the supervisor of all the conglomerate of all madaris, also plays many other critical roles, is the son of a very great alim, Hazrat Mufti Mahmud Sahib of Pakistan, rahimahullah. Mullah Fadhl Rahman Sahib makes every effort as far as the laws of Sharia are concerned, inshallah, playing a critical role at this time. Inshallah, advices will be given tonight after Maghrib. Then we know Tuesday night, one of the auspicious nights of the year, night of the 15th of Sha'ban, Laylat al-Nisf min Sha'ban, when Allah Ta'ala forgives in great abundance. Let us try and prepare as best as possible, sincere tawbah, istighfar, dua for the ummah especially. Inshallah, advices will be given on Tuesday night after the Isha Salah, short advices, inshallah. Reminder once again, inshallah, let us try and contribute as generously as possible, inshallah, in the build up to Ramadan. Whatever good we spend towards the masjid, maintenance, etc., inshallah, the amal, tilawat of Quran, Sharif, khatams, etc., that take place in the masjid, we'll have the full reward in that, inshallah. Let us donate generously to the house of Allah Ta'ala, to the masjid, as well as madrasa, inshallah.
Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله حي على الصلاة حي على الصلاة حي على الفلاح حي على الفلاح الله أكبر الله أكبر لا إله إلا الله
الحمد لله الحمد لله رب الأرباب ومسبب الأسباب جاعل الدنيا دار التكليف والاكتساب أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له في الذات والصفات وأشهد أن سيدنا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله سيد الموجودات صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه أفضل الصلوات وأزكى التحيات أما بعد فيا أيها الناس عليكم بإصلاح المعاش والمعاد فالأول بإجمال في الطلب ثم التوكل على رب العباد والثاني بامتثال الأوامر واجتناب المناهي بالاهتمام والاجتهاد واعلموا أن طلب الحلال واجب فقد قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم طلب الحلال واجب على كل مسلم واعلموا أن كسب اليد والأكل من كسب يده من سنن المرسلين فقد قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم ما بعث الله نبيا إلا رعى الغنم فقال أصحابه وأنت فقال نعم كنت أرعاها على كروريت لأهل مكة وقال ابن مسعود رضي الله عنه إني أكره أن أرى الرجل فارغا لا في عمل دنيا ولا آخرة أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم فإذا قضيت الصلاة فانتشروا في الأرض وابتغوا من فضل الله واذكروا الله كثيرا لعلكم تفلحون بارك الله لنا ولكم في القرآن العظيم الحمد لله الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله أرسله بالحق بشيرا ونذيرا بين يدي الساعة من يطع الله ورسوله فقد رشد ومن يعص الله ورسوله فإنه لا يضر إلا نفسه ولا يضر الله شيئا أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه وأتباعه أجمعين إلى يوم الدين خصوصا على أمير المؤمنين سيدنا أبي بكر الصديق وعلى أمير المؤمنين سيدنا عمر بن الخطاب وعلى أمير المؤمنين سيدنا عثمان بن عفان وعلى أمير المؤمنين سيدنا علي بن أبي طالب وعلى سيدنا الحسن والحسين وعلى بنات النبي الطاهرة زينب ورقية وأم كلثوم وفاطمة سيدة النساء وعلى عميه سيدنا حمزة والعباس وعلى الستة الباقية من شرة طلحة والزبير وعبد الرحمن بن عوف وسعد بن أبي وقاص وسعيد بن زيد وأبي عبيدة بن الجراح وعلى أزواج النبي المكرم وعلى سائر الصحابة والتابعين رضوان الله تعالى عليهم أجمعين اللهم اغفر للمؤمنين والمؤمنات والمسلمين والمسلمات الأحياء منهم والأموات برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين اللهم أرنا الحق حقا وارزقنا اتباعه وأرنا الباطل باطلا وارزقنا اجتنابه ربنا لا تزغ قلوبنا بعد إذ هديتنا وهب لنا من لدنك رحمة إنك أنت الوهاب أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم إن الله يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون اذكروا الله يذكركم وادعوه يستجب لكم ولذكر الله تعالى أعلى وأولى وأعز وأجل وأهم وأتم وأكبر Stow your attention, straight in the sukuf, make sure we're standing shoulder to shoulder. Cell phones on silent. Allahu Akbar. الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين سبح اسم ربك الأعلى الذي خلق فسوى والذي قدر فهدى والذي أخرج المرعى فجعله غثاء أهوى سنقرئك فلا تنسى إلا ما شاء الله إنه يعلم الجهر وما يخفى ونيسرك لليسرى فذكر إن نفعت الذكرى سيذكر من يخشى ويتجنبها الأشقى الذي يصلى النار الكبرى ثم لا يموت فيها ولا يحيا قد أفلح من تزكى وذكر اسم ربه فصلى بل تؤثرون الحياة الدنيا والآخرة خير وأبقى إن هذا لفي الصحف الأولى صحف إبراهيم وموسى الله أكبر سمع الله لمن حمده الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين ألم نشرح لك صدرك ووضعنا عنك وزرك الذي أنقض ظهرك ورفعنا لك ذكرك فإن مع العسر يسرا إن مع العسر يسرا أفرغت فانصب وإلى ربك فارغب الله أكبر سمع الله لمن حمده الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر Assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullah. Assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullah. اللهم انت السلام ومنك السلام تبارك يا ذا الجلال والاكرام اللهم اعنا على ذكرك وشكرك وحسن عبادتك اللهم لا مانع لما اعطيت ولا معطي لما منعت ولا ينفع ذا الجد منك الجد سمعنا واطعنا غفرانك ربنا واليك المصير برحمتك يا ارحم الراحمين والحاقين.